page?
Daf Lamed. Masechet Sanhedrin, Daf Lamed, Amud Aleph, page 38. We had a question yesterday on the sugya that we were learning. The question that we had, remember, it was like this. We said in the sugya that if a father left money for his sons, and the sons saw him putting it away in a certain place, or if someone else saw him putting it away in a certain place and told and the father said that the money was Master Shani, or the money belonged to Plani. Yeah. Question was, do we believe the father or not? Can we spend the money ourselves, or do we believe that the money actually does belong to Plani? So Gemara gave us a rule. Depends. If the person who told you had the ability to take the money himself, for example, the money was in the field, then his words stand, because he could have taken it himself, or he could have given it to the one who he said it belonged to.
Well, what about Master Shani?
And in the case of Master Shani, I don't have an answer for you why we believe in the case of Master Shani.
Right, that's my question, because only the person whose money it is can't give it, can it? Or what about the relatives?
But he could have at least taken it for himself. He could have done something with it. The fact that he could have done something with it means he's believed. But if it was in the house and he couldn't do anything with it because it wasn't in his possession, then we don't believe him. And that's called amigo.
And amigo means?
Amigo means... It's like a mitoch. Don't talk about my name. So, Migo means that he had a better claim. Because he had a better claim, and he didn't make the better claim, but he made the worst claim, we believe. Meaning, he could have fooled us quite easily, but chose not to. Or he could have done something else and chose not to. And because he put himself in a bad position, in a worse position, we believe it. Because he wouldn't be lying. If he was lying, he wouldn't have said that. He would have... In this case, his migo is, he wouldn't lie because he could have taken the money himself. It was sitting there in the field.
So the better position is he could have taken the money himself.
Yeah.
And not told anyone.
No, not told anyone. And because he chose to come into court and say, there's money over there and it belongs to someone. So we believe him because from what's called amigo. Right? It's like the classic example of amigo is the woman who says that she was married but her husband died. And she's got proof that he's dead. And she wants to remarry. So she has amigo. Because she didn't need to tell the court that she was married. No one knows she was married. She didn't have a husband. But she says, I was married. But I know he's dead. So we believe her. Because she's got amigo. She didn't have to make that claim. She could just claim. If she was going to lie, so she just, I was never married. It's much easier. No one can prove it.
Why? Because she wouldn't have to turn over the tuba.
It would be an easy claim to make. But now the fact that she's it's also called the Peshastah, the mouth that forbade it to herself is the one that commits it, right? It's a form of amigo. So here we see that in the case of amigo, we do believe him. And that's the difference. Because he has amigo where the money was in the field. He doesn't have amigo if the money was in the house. So he couldn't have got to the money if it was in the house.
That means he could get... You're assuming that he could get money in the field.
Yes. That's what the Gemara is saying. The rule is wherever you can get hold of the money, you've got amigo. And wherever you can't get hold of the money... So it uses an example of the field and the house. It's just an example. It doesn't have to... Daf could be a field or daf could be a house. We're just talking about a place that is an example of where you can get to the money or not. So yesterday, the question we had... on it was, why are we dealing with one witness? We said that when one person makes that claim, he's believed or he's not believed.
He's not believed, so you need two witnesses.
So then the whole sugya is irrelevant.
Why is
the
it
whole
here?
Exactly. So that was a question we had yesterday, right? We're only dealing here with one individual. He said, why do we believe him or we don't believe him? Well, who cares if we believe him or we don't believe him? You need two witnesses. So this sugya doesn't make sense at all. You're asking something that's completely irrelevant. But obviously we're not. Obviously there is a case where it does matter, even in the case of one witness who says yes or no, who says something whether we believe him or not, even if it's one witness. What's that case? So I looked yesterday, with Hashem's help, I looked in the before Hashem for some different explanations about what's going on here. So there's a few different explanations. I'll just give you two of them that I saw. So one of them is brought by the Shach, and he says that...
And who's the Shach?
The Shach is, I know, he's one of the Achronim. Tov.
Okay.
We could do a whole biography, but actually I can tell you the Shach, because I've got a notice of him here. One of the Shach, true or not. Here, the Shach. Commentary on the Shulchan Aruch, written by Rabbi Shabsi HaKohen, 1622 to 1663, known as the Shach. Known as a child prodigy, the Shach studied under Rabbi Yeshua ben Yosef, author of the Maginei Shlomo, who was in turn a Talmid of the Maharam of Lublin and the Sma. At the incredible age of just 24, the Shach completed his commentary, Sifsei Kohen, on the Shulchan Aruch Yoredeah. 12.
Who
he also wrote something called the Nekudot HaKester. He was a contemporary of the Taz. He married the great-granddaughter of the Ramah. Suffered in the Chalmoneki pogrom.
Poland?
Yep. He also wrote the second major commentary on the Shulchan Aruch. Well, he died in the year 1663. Tov, he was a huge Talmid Chacham. Anyway, the Shach says that the Chiddush here is that this is what we were saying. The Chiddush that the Gemara comes to give me is the fact that normally we don't believe one witness. You're right, we never believe one witness in the case of monetary matters.
We also don't believe one witness when it comes to capital cases, too.
Nahon, for sure in capital cases. But the chiddush here is the fact that we actually do believe one witness in a monetary case if he's got a migo. So normally we never take witnesses unless there's two. But in this case, we do accept one, because he's got a migo. And the migo is what is the chiddush here, that according to the Shach, that the Gemara is giving us here. In the case of migo, just like the case we mentioned about the woman, so the woman who says that she was married and her Baal died, she's believed, even though she's one witness. Why? Because she's got a migo. Same thing over here. That's my understanding of the Shach. I read it briefly.
What is the Migo here?
The Migo is that he could have taken the money. If he sees money that the man put in a field, and the man says, this money belongs to Plony, then this man who saw it, the one witness, goes to court and says, that money in the field belongs to Plony, the guy told me. Right? And then, so do we give it to Plony? So we do, we believe him, because he could have taken the money himself, or he could have given the money to Plony himself, because he had the opportunity to do that. So the Migo is that he didn't do that.
What if Plony doesn't know anything about it?
Doesn't matter. Believe him, because the question is whether or not we believe the witness.
Okay.
Plony might not even be alive. Doesn't really matter. The question is just whether or not we believe the witness. Okay. So that's one explanation. I'll give you a different explanation.
And why consider Migo? Where is the Mitoch?
The Mitoch is a Mitoch Shehu Yachol לקחת אותו את, לעצמו, או לתת לפלוני עצמו. לא צריך ללכת לבית דין. כלומר, so he could have done it himself.
Okay.
Because he didn't, and he went to give evidence, so we believe. But if he couldn't, the Gemara brings the other case. If the money wasn't in the field, but the money was in someone's house, and he couldn't get to it, so we don't believe him. Even if there's the same circumstance, the same case, we don't believe him. Because he doesn't have a Migo, he doesn't have a Mitzvah. Okay, so that's the shot.
You were saying the other one.
Yeah, so the other explanation, I don't have a name to put to this one, is that here we're not talking about witnessing, normal case of witnessing. In the normal case of witnessing, you need two witnesses. So what's going on here that's different? Here, one person is enough to assor something. To make something assor, you don't need two.
That's going to make something
assor, it's forbidden. You don't need two. For example, someone comes over to you and says, that meat you're about to eat, I know is treif. It's now treif, you're not allowed to eat it.
So
why? Because one person's allowed to assor it. You don't say to him, yeah, there's only one of you. Get two guys and tell me, and you witness that, why? Otherwise I'm eating it.
But how does he know that it's treif?
If you believe him, if he's got reason to be believed.
Okay.
You don't say there's only one of you, so I don't believe you. If he's got reason to be believed, if I trusted him, if he was lying, then no, for sure, even if there were 20 people and they told me, right, if they're lying. But if someone who's trusted, but there's only one of him, so maybe he's lying. No, one person is enough to make something asul. To make something forbidden, you only need one.
This is the official asal official.
No, this is just a normal case. Any case, what you need, we said the rule is you need two witnesses to make something fixed. Right, but not in the case of making something asur. If you want to make something asur, you only need one valid witness. Right. So here is a case of making something asur. What's it making asur? It's making the money asur. It belongs to someone else. Or he's saying it's masasheni. You're not allowed to touch that money. He's making the money asur. He's making the money forbidden for you to take. So in that case, you would potentially be able to rely on one witness. But it depends. Again, here it's saying the chiddush is there. In this case, you still need the migo. You still need the ability to believe on that witness. Why do I believe in this witness or not? Because he had the chance to take money himself. So now I believe him. And one witness is good enough to assur, to make something assur. But not in a normal case. And that's the chiddush of this piece of Gemara. Say that.
Now, what about where it's saying that the father is deceiving the children?
Yeah, so what's the question?
What the question?
What's the question?
Muhammad Aleph.
Just to explain what's going on? Yeah, I know the place you mean.
No, I was wondering if you're going to cover that too.
Oh, I see, that's not the Migo. Yeah, that's not the case of the Migo. The first case is the case of the Migo where someone else came along and saw it. But where the father himself, or the children himself, heard directly from the father, that's the case of where he might be lying to them.
Right.
Okay.
So we can't go by Migo.
No, so there we don't go by Migo, you're right. So we don't go by Migo.
Okay.
Ah, so here in that case, so we don't have a Migo. So what's a chiddush? So the chiddush there, we're certainly going to have the second one. The second version that we said, which is the ability to make something asur. Can the father make it asur for the children to take? Can he make this money masasheni or belonging to someone else? That you're not allowed to take it because then it'll be theft. Can he asur it? So it depends whether we believe him or not. If he had a reason to lie and deceive them, or whether he was actually giving them instructions, in which case we can believe him, right? He's a reliable witness, so to speak. We don't have him. We can't bring him into the court to say, what did you mean?
Right, because like obviously he's dead.
Right, so we have to ask the children whether or not he was reliable in what he said. If he was reliable in what he said it seriously, so then his words stand. He does make the money forbidden to them. But if not, then his words don't stand, and we don't rely on him.
You're working on those two things.
We don't rely on him.
Okay. Okay, that's good.
Yeah.
So then continuing on, we covered the, what's it called, Master of Dreams.
Yeah.
And they said basically, you know, you can't go with the dreams. Because one part of it is...
One part, at least one, and we don't know which bit. So even though some of it was correct, we don't have grounds to believe, because even in this case, it's a similar case of one witness, so to speak. The question is, why the Havamina, you might have thought that you could believe him, and it would make the money asal for the same reason, even though he's not human, so to speak, but it's one witness, the Master of Dreams.
Right,
but we also don't believe him because we're not sure that he's telling the truth. But if we had grounds to believe that he was telling the truth, if we didn't have that Gemara in Brachot, which says that every dream has something in it that's false, if we don't have that Gemara, then we would potentially have to listen to that. That would be a valid witnessing, so to speak, a valid eidut.
Right.
Testimony.
What was the question of
So the Gemara had a third case. We had two cases. One that someone saw the father hide money. Next case was the children saw the father hide the money. And the third case was after the father died, one of the children had a dream. And the Master of Dreams told the son, there's a certain amount of money, it's in a certain place, and it belongs to Plonny. And he goes to it and he finds that there is that money in that place. Does it belong to Plonny, or I can take it? I believe that he told me the truth. Do I believe also? So the Gemara answers no. Even though what he said was true, the Gemara in Brachot said that every dream has within it something sheker, and you don't know which bit is sheker. So it might be that when he says it belongs to Plonny, that bit's the sheker bit. So you don't have to rely on it, you can take the money for yourself. If you get a dream and they tell you the money's under the... and it's there, you can take it.
Isn't there a Rabbi Nachman story about someone who goes...
to Vienna and the money's under the bridge?
Yeah, you're under the bridge, and then they find out that it's actually underneath his...
Right.
Under his house.
Yeah, so what's the mashal there? I mean, Nachman's telling you that.
It's a story from Nachman.
Yeah.
I don't remember the title.
He has to go all the way to Vienna to find the money, but really, it's in his own house all along. He's actually sitting on it. The treasure is within you all along, but you need to go, you need to travel to the Tzaddik for him to tell you that it's actually in you. It's not over there, but you need to go over there for him to tell you it's over here. Oh, that's what it means. I don't know what it means. Right. Tov. What do we do with that? That's another question, but to at least get that step. Yeah. You can still get your tickets for Shabbos Hanukkah 2 weeks' time. That's a shame.
What, the Uman?
Shabbos Hanukkah.
You're going?
That's a shame. Cold, but it's worth it.
Yeah, there's no gas, no heat, no...
No, they have heat. They have heat, it's just cold outside. That's all right, you stay in the Sion.
There must be heat.
You stay in the cabin there.
I heard they were cutting off the gas.
Oh, yeah? Oh, Tov. I'll bring my thermals. Tov. All right, next. Okay, so we're back into the Mishnah. Shnayim she'omrim zakai. So whenever you see a little bit of the Mishnah, it's important to go back to the Mishnah, not just keep going, because you have to know what it is that we're looking at. Shnayim she'omrim zakai, two judges who said innocent. Be'echad omer chayav, one said chayav. What's the answer? Zakai, obvious. Shnayim omrim chayav, if two said he was guilty. Be'echad omer zakai, one said he's innocent. Chayav. Also very clear. Echad omer chayav, echad omer zakai, one each. Afilu shnayim mezakin, shnayim mechayvin. Echad omer eini yodea. Yosifu hadayanim. right? It's not enough. We have to add judges. If there is a split decision, we don't have a majority. We don't. We have one person who says he doesn't know. We have to add judges. So, what are we going to learn about this? Gemara says. Okay, so the one. So we're talking about the case where they two say he's where they get a verdict. Right, the case of a verdict. Verdict.
A sack.
Right, they do. They reach for sack. Question the Gemara is what? How do they give over that sack? What do they write? What do they say? What do they write?
There are basically three opinions.
We're going to see now. There's three different opinions as to what the judges write about the verdict that they make. Michtav hechi katve. How do you write the verdict? Rabbi Yochanan Amar. Rabbi Yochanan
is
says.
Is there shorot rechavot?
Ma?
The big lines. Shorot rechavot.
Yeah, we are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 6, 7 lines down in the big lines. Beginning of the line, Michtav Hechi Ketve. Okay, how do they write? Rabbi Yochanan Amar. Rabbi Yochanan says, Zakai, if the guy is innocent, so they just write Zakai. One word, Zakai. Finished. That's how they write the verdict. Reish Lakish Amar. Reish Lakish says, no, they don't do that. They write, Ploni the Ploni Vazakin, the Ploni the Ploni Vachayavin. Right? They say so and so made you innocent and so and so made you guilty. They write the names of the judges and what each one decided. We're going to see why in a minute. Rabbi Elazar Amar, Rabbi Elazar says, Midvrehem Nizdakeh Ploni. They write something different. Midivrehem, from their words, from their judgment, Nizdakeh Ploni, they, so and so was found innocent. Right, what's the difference here? Why does it matter whether they write the word Zakai, whether they write the words this judge and this judge said Zakai and this judge said Hayav, or whether they write the words from their Sicha, they decided Zakai? What's the difference? At least number one and number three seem to be the same. First one says Zakai. Just write Zakai. Be Zakai. Say Zakai. Finished. Second one is different for sure. You have to show which one said Zakai and which one said Chaya. But the third one just said, and from their words, he was made Zakai. What's an afkamina? What's the difference?
The difference was there's on the first one, it's just nothing, just Zakai. The third one is the court's saying something. They're listing as a court.
The which one? The second or third?
The third.
The third, okay.
And the second one saying which each judge is ruling. Now,
why would we do that? Why do we care? Like each, right, Reish Lakish, Rabbi Elazar, and Rabbi Yochanan, who all have a different view.
Well,
why do they care what it says?
When we continue on, we'll find out what happens if the judges make a mistake.
But before that, you're right. But before then, that's only that, you're right.
But the other part is.
Yeah, what's the other part?
Is. What, Rehilis or Lashon Hara?
Right.
I get mixed up.
Rechilut, it's both. Rechilut is a sug of Lashon Hara.
Okay. So basically, it's Lashon Hara.
Because
someone's going to be upset. And so, on either case.
Yes, okay. Therefore.
And so, someone's going to go after whoever they think is responsible. And if everyone's listed on who did what.
Yep.
They're going to be really upset with that person on either side.
Okay, so that deals with why Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Elazar, don't, the number one and number three, they don't list them out. Right?
Right.
If you list them out, there's a danger of being upset with one of the judges. Yes, you see that? If you write Ploni, Dayan Ploni, the Dayan Ploni, Zakai, the Dayan Ploni Machayev, then the litigants, the Balei Dinim, they know which one went against them and one which went for them, and there can be cause machloket. You said, why didn't you go with me, etc., etc.
What's the English? Something mongering? Oh.
Means la fria la.
By the way, this is it showed in my mind, maybe you probably know it very much, that why three dayanim of three shiftim? Or one, or three, or maybe more, I don't know, but because, like, if it's two, זה יהיה הדעה שלה, הדעה שלו והדעה שלו. So therefore צריך שיהיה שלושה, שיכול להיות דעת יחיד מול דעת רבים, and the verdict will be by דעת רבים. Something very...
נכון, אבל גם בפשטות, שאם יש רק שניים, אז...
ודאי, אחד מול אחד,
זה לא הולך.
אז או שיש אחד, או שיש שופט אחד.
נכון.
או שיש שלושה.
כן.
או שאני לא יודע, אני יכול, נראה לי שזה גם תמיד או חמישה או שבעה.
נכון.
נכון?
נכון. כן, צריך להיות, כן. So here, we see that there's a reason why you might not want to name the judges. Right? Reish Lakish doesn't go with that. Reish Lakish says, we don't worry about Rechilut. Right? Reish Lakish spells out exactly who said what. Nakhon?
Right.
So he doesn't. He's not worried about that. He's not worried about that. Yeah, the other two are. So what is he worried about? If he knows there's a possibility for rechilut, a possibility for machloket, if I say the names of the judges, so why would I choose to do that and not choose to go like Rabbi Yochanan or Rabbi Elazar and just say Zakai? Just give a step. Why would he choose to spell
because
it out?
He's worried about if the judges make an error, then they're responsible.
No. That's a nafkamina. That comes out as a practical difference. But before then, there's another reason.
Okay.
Before that, there's another reason. The reason is because Rabbi Reish Lakish is more worried. I'm going to see in Rabbi Elazar as well. Reish Lakish doesn't want to just say Zakai. Why? Because it gives the impression of falsehood. It's not true. We didn't all say Zakai. It wasn't unanimous. If we say Zakai, it sounds like we all made Zakai. And one guy, for sure, he maybe didn't make Zakai. So Rabbi Elazar says, because of that, we say midivreihem. What do you say? Midivreihem nizakeh ploni. As a result of their words, he was found to be. And then it's not like Zakai. Then it's not a blanket statement that he's innocent, that we found him innocent. From their words, the result was innocence. But it doesn't mean that we all agreed. See that in the third opinion?
Mm-hmm.
Rabbi Yochanan says, no, we just say Zakai, finished. Doesn't matter. Reish Lakish says, no, we can't say that because it might be not true. So we have to say what each judge said. And Rabbi Elazar says, I'm not going to say what each judge says, and I'm not going to say Zakai. I'm going to make a different answer, which is, from their words, it was found that he was innocent. And then we cover both, according to Rabbi Elazar.
Does Rashi say anything? Because I'm trying to find out. The English just doesn't give that information.
Nachon, it's not completely all there. It comes out over the rest of the sugya, but that's exactly what was going on. I kind of brought it up early so that we have an understanding at this point. By the end of the sugya, it becomes clear, I think. But that's the at the end. At the end of the sugya, each one gives his opinion as to why he said what he said. On 30A3, in the second paragraph there.
Ah, okay.
Okay. Top. But before we get to that part of it, as you said, there is a difference my benehu, there is a practical difference as well, which comes out if there was an error, the court made an error. We learned before at the beginning of the Masechet that the judge himself can pay from his own pocket if he says it wrong. So what happens if there's a court of three and they get it wrong? But it wasn't agreed. If it was all three of them got it wrong, so all three of them pay between them a third each. But what happens if one of them, I didn't get it wrong, I thought he was the other opinion, right? And it's only the two guys who got it wrong, but because the two guys got it wrong, they won the majority. So does the third guy have to pay?
No.
So it depends on which one. Shalom Wolfen. Say that.
Okay, sir.
Yes.
So it's one opinion is the two people, two judges pay, and the winner gets put in the third.
But I don't know, we're going to see.
Right.
We're going to see what each of those opinions are now. How each of the opinions as to how we describe the verdict, whether or not we name the judges, makes a difference as to whether or not they have to pay. In basic terms, if we don't name them and we put them all together, we say Zakai, and he wasn't Zakai. We say Chayav, and he wasn't Chayav. So they all have to pay because we put them all together. We made them all one. Chayav. We didn't make any distinction between them. But where we said Ploni said Chayav and Ploni said Zakai, so fine. So then he can get off because it was clear that he never... So let's see each one. Okay? Isha Benehu, this is what's between them. Leshlome Ihu... Manata Bahadaihu, whether or not, what's the difference between them? Whether or not he pays a share with the others. Right? So, whether or not the judge who didn't go with the majority when the majority made an error, so the one who got it right, whether or not he also has to pay up from his own pocket. Dilma Dama Zakai Mashalem, according to the one. Sorry, to the ma'an da'amar zakai. Mashalem, the one who said zakai, blanket, includes everyone. So he has to pay because he's included in that blanket statement. The ma'an da'amar ploni the ploni, mazakin, ploni ploni b'chayavin. According to Reish Lakish, the one who said this one and this one said chayav and this one said zakai. Lo mashalem, he doesn't have to pay. Right? Those two are clear. It doesn't say what the case is for Rabbi Elazar, the third opinion, interestingly. The Gemara at this point rejects it and it doesn't come to let's see the footnote. So according to the Yad Ramah, the one Rabbi Elazar who said the shiluv between the two, he said from the words of the court he was made innocent. Right? He didn't say exactly which judge, but he made it clear that it wasn't necessarily unanimous. So according to that opinion, so the Yad Ramah said he still has to pay. It goes like Rabbi Yochanan, goes like the first opinion, and he still has to pay because we don't know that he specifically disagreed. So, anyway, the Gemara doesn't bring it, but the Yad Ramah implies that must be what the approach is. But the Gemara rejects that idea and says, but according to the one who said Zakai, everyone together Zakai, and we said he has to pay. Lema lahu, he could say to them, the one who didn't say Zakai, the one who said Chayat, the one who disagreed that we're now making pay his third, he can turn to the other two judges and say to them, ilalididi fititun, atun nami la shalmitun. If you would have listened to me, you also wouldn't have to pay. Right, he's got a claim against the other two judges, so to speak, that they didn't, that they could have listened to him, and they wouldn't have to pay, and therefore, it's not fair that he has to pay his share of the loss. Ala ikabanayu. Therefore, the Gemara takes a different approach. This is what the difference is between the three opinions. The Shlomo inhu matana ledide. Whether or not those two have to pay. Why? Ah, what are we saying? In the second case, we're saying for sure that the one who disagreed doesn't have to pay. It's a given that the one, it's not his fault. The one who was said he was chayav, and the other two said zakat. So those two have to pay. And the one who says chayav, it's not a question. We're not arguing about whether or not the third guy has to pay his share. For sure he doesn't have to pay. So what are we arguing about? We're arguing about how much do the first two have to pay. For sure they have to pay, and he doesn't. But how much do they have to pay? Do they have to pay the whole thing? Or do they only have to pay their share? Who loses out? So they only have to pay two-thirds, and the litigant who lost out, he loses out. He loses a third, sorry. Or they have to pay all of it between them. And they have to take the extra share. So that's what the argument is, the Ika Benehu, between these two opinions. Lamandama Zakai, Michelle May, the one who says Zakai, who says that they made a blanket statement that he's innocent. So that covers everything. So Zakai means that they pay the whole thing. But the one who says Ploni and Ploni and split it up, this one said innocent, this one said innocent, this one said guilty. So here it was clear that there was only two people who said guilty and one said innocent, or the other way around. And therefore, they don't have to pay the full amount, because it was clear that not everybody went with the wrong judgment. So the only two went 2 out of 3. So they only have to pay 2 out of 3. They have to pay 2/3. Rama Shalmi. But the Gemara doesn't like that either. So we'll carry on tomorrow at our time. We'll see why that doesn't work, and then we're going to come to the answer which we started with at the beginning.